Hey, welcome to Thursday's edition of the Daily Bible Podcast.
It's gonna be
Stop. No more.
I can't get it out of my head, man.
Well,
it's a curse.
Whose fault is that?
It's yours.
No, it's not. You're the one who started
You said you danced to Backstreet Boys and NSYNC in high school.
Hold on. You started last podcast the same exact way you just started this one before I said anything.
I don't recall that.
Well, I think we can go back to the tapes on that one.
Let's just keep going.
Because we have tapes.
Tapes. We're not recording on computers. We're using actual cassette tapes.
Hey, alcohol and weed.
Oh.
Now that we've got everybody's attention.
What about it?
What should we do with it as Christians? Because the government is taking a what used to be a class one drug in marijuana, and they're going to say, hey, we're gonna reclassify this. We're going to make it from a class one drug, which was on par with heroin and the other narcotics that are out there, the bad ones that we all think about. And we're going to change it to class three, which means it's on par with anabolic steroids at this point now. That's another class three drug. So as Christians, should we go, great, marijuana is legal now, I can go out and stockpile? Is there, and same thing with alcohol, right? I mean, I think we've alluded to these things before on the podcast. I think since we've got a little bit of a shorter text in the Bible to get to, which we'll get to, maybe some extra googly time this morning.
Extra googly.
To talk about.
Some people may not like that.
To talk about these things. They're important. And yeah, I'll show my cards first.
All right, let's do that.
Yeah.
Show us your cards. Ace of spades right here.
Ace of spades, yeah. When it comes to alcohol, the Bible does give permission to engage and indulge in alcohol, so long as it does not lead to inebriation, so long as it does not lead to drunkenness. There are clear prohibitions in Scripture of drunkenness and examples where we see people who are intoxicated doing really dumb and stupid things. So there's wisdom in being very careful with such a powerful substance as alcohol. And so I think there's you know, Paul writing to Timothy, hey, take some wine for your stomach and whatever ails you. We've alluded to this before, that the dying individual, give them strong drink, right, so that you're comforting their pain in the midst of their final moments while on earth. So there's a place for it. I think we as Christians need to be careful with it. And there's a whole separate conversation that isn't necessarily on deck right now of the weaker brother issue and when is it appropriate to drink in front of somebody else versus not drink and abstain.
Right.
But just for the individual, I think, you know, something that we should be mindful of is just whether or not we're developing a dependence upon it too. Not just is it leading us to drunkenness, but is it something that we feel like, man, I need this. And if I don't have it, then I'm not going to be okay. So that's where I'm at on alcohol. And then let me jump to marijuana, and then PR, I want to get your thoughts as well.
Okay.
Marijuana. I grew up, you know, don't do drugs. Don't stay in school, don't do drugs. Like that whole...
You're part of the DARE program? Mentality. The DARE,
you know,
to say no to
I
drugs?
I wasn't, but... Yeah,
that dog?
I wasn't cool enough.
That dog in that like trench coat? It's kind of a weird situation.
That's McGruff?
Was that McGruff?
Yeah.
With the hat? Was he a detective? Is that what was going on there?
I think so. Yeah.
Detective Gruff says say no to drugs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was there. I was like, yes. Yeah. Well, who? We'll say no to drugs. So for me, it's... Marijuana's always been this thing that's like out there. Like, I'm not going to do it. It's a drug. It's bad. And now all of a sudden, what if the government legalizes it?
Like, hey, no longer a drug.
Right.
Or it's a drug, but it's okay to buy.
Right. So does it fall into the same category now for us as Christians as alcohol? And I would say, I don't think so. And I would say that for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think the impact of marijuana on us from a physiological perspective is significantly worse than it is with wine. I think you can see the damaging impacts and the studies that have shown that it does negatively impact brain functionality, brain cells, so forth and so on. I mean, even just the concept of the person that engages in marijuana. And that's the second thing that I would say is there is a stereotype. There's a stigma about marijuana that is associated with wickedness and evil. And while it's a broad umbrella statement in Scripture to avoid sorcery, it's the Greek word pharmakeia, which has to do with pharmaceuticals. Drugs is, we get the word pharmaceuticals from that same thing. It's the association with that which is improper, that which is evil, that which is wicked, which we're called as Christians to have nothing to do with. We're called, Ephesians 5, to walk as children of light and to expose the darkness. And this is something that has been associated with darkness, and I think still is associated with darkness. And so I think it's wise for us as believers to abstain for those two points. So there's my cards, Pastor Rod.
So Paul says, all things are lawful for me, he's quoting the Corinthians, but not all things are helpful, he says in retort. All things are lawful, but I will not be, I think the word he uses is dominated by anything. I won't be overcome, mastered by it. I think that would be my governing principle. And there's lots of verses that speak to this. Obviously, Scripture doesn't want us to be inebriated or drunken. And that's really going to limit for us the kind of participation we might render to any of these things that become legal. If the government were to say tomorrow, hey, marijuana is legal, you can go buy it at the drugstore. And to your point, if it becomes so that there's no stigma attached, then I think there's a door at least for the Christian to say, okay, is this something that I want to spend my money on? Is this something that I think would be helpful for me? Is this something that would allow me to be a better witness of the gospel or to be even more rested or what have you? Okay, it's at that point that I think you ask the questions, but I don't think you can do it right now in clear conscience, only because, again, there's still a stigma attached and Christians aren't on the bleeding edge of really anything. We're not the ones in the culture who are changing the status quo, at least not when it comes to our permissiveness. When it comes to Scripture, dang, we're all about that. When it comes to other things like that, when it comes to marijuana or drunkenness or drinking or even any other drugs, talk about caffeine. Caffeine's a drug too. There's lots of things that are drugs. Aspirin, you know, ibuprofen. There's different kinds of drugs. And even the question that the government is asking, the DEA identifies schedule drugs according to their potential for abuse abuse and addiction. So the higher the number goes, the less of a threat it can be. Schedule one, of course. Here's what they say for schedule one. Schedule one drug substances or chemicals are defined as drugs with no currently accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse. Now, it includes heroin, methamphetamines, used to be marijuana, cannabis. So they have a few others there that you'd be familiar with. But all that to say, as Christians, we're going to say we want to be sober-minded. That's what Scripture calls us to do. Scripture calls us to be sober-minded, to be ready to make a defense. Scripture calls us not to be as those who are asleep, 1 Thessalonians 5. Our job is to be alert and ready. And I think that's one reason why I feel much better about caffeine. I wouldn't take speed by the same principle, but I would say caffeine is an acceptable use drug that most people would say, okay, minimal side effects except for the headaches if you go off of it, probably minimal long-term effects for long-term exposure, and therefore something I can, as a Christian, say, I drink my coffee to the glory of God. I drink my Monsters to the glory of God. I drink my Bangs to the glory of God. But sometimes I do pay the price. My body responds to that negatively, so I keep that in mind as well. Christians are thoughtful. Christians are meant to say, what's going to be most helpful for me honoring the Lord? And it's stuff like this that really challenges us, but you should put the thought effort into it. I would not take anything for granted. And Pastor PJ and I, you and I were talking about this before the podcast, but I think more often than not, we're probably so often going to default to the culturally defined layers of right and wrong. Why is this right and why is that wrong? Well, because this is illegal and this one's not illegal. We don't want to be shaped by the culture. We don't want to be shaped by our government. We don't want to be shaped by anything else besides Scripture. So I would say we're always going to go back to Scripture and say, what does Scripture say about these things? What does it imply? For instance, when we talk about give strong drink to the one who's perishing, I think that expands beyond then strong drink. If someone's dying and they're in the hospital and they're in great pain, I'm not going to say, hey, bring them a Jack Daniels. I'm going to say, hey, give them morphine. Give them, you know, whatever pain that you can give them to help ease them out as they prepare to die. I think Scripture gives us precedence for that, even though it doesn't say that. It says strong drink and it doesn't say morphine. Well, I think the principle is there. The strong, intoxicating, inebriating substances are for those who are perishing and not for those who are still living and serving the Lord.
Yeah, I think the flip side of that too, I agree we've been culturally influenced. I think we also need to, though, ask ourselves why are our laws changing as well?
Fair question. Totally.
And something that was a tier one because of its danger for abuse, who's deciding it's all of a sudden not dangerous for abuse anymore? And what's going into that? What's factoring into that as well? So,
and that's where good studies are helpful. Right. You know, double blind placebo studies where people are actually researching what the effects are and why. I mean, this brings up a whole other can of worms. Our government makes laws in theory from good information, from sound scientific studies, and we know that's just not the way our broken world works.
Sometimes to appeal to voting blocks too.
Voting blocks. I mean, there's money that greases palms. I mean, there's lots of things. You're right on that.
Yeah.
That's worth considering.
Yeah.
Pray for your leaders. Pray for your pastors, please.
100%.
Pray for everybody. Everybody needs prayer.
Yep.
Come on.
All that to say, listen, if you have Pastor Rod and I over to your house and you have alcohol in your fridge, you're not going to get us looking at you going, you heathen, I can't believe you.
I may pour it out for you, but but beyond that.
And he's going to burn your CDs at the same time, your Backstreet Boys and NSYNC ones.
It's going
to
be.
In fact, he's going to use the alcohol to burn them. It's how fine. It's all going to work.
Bonfire.
All right, hey, let's get to our daily Bible reading. Bonfire. Psalm 133. And speaking of three, there's only three verses here. In fact, let's just read it together on the podcast, and then boom, your
the
daily Bible
first
reading
time
is done.
We're reading the whole chapter together, the whole reading together for the first time.
Psalm 133, colon, title, song of ascent, period.
Just like David Cochran Heath. Come on.
Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes.
No thanks.
It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Boom. Daily Bible reading done for the day.
All right.
Yep. So turn off the podcast. Bye-bye. Bye, guys. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. We're still going. Yeah, we're still going. This, obviously, the theme of the psalm is focused on the goodness of unity. And that's something that we should care about as a church. That's something we should care about as Christians. And we do care about that as Christians. It's a psalm of David, a psalm of ascent. So as the people are going up to worship the Lord, they're singing this psalm about unity. And that's so good. It's such an important time. And he references Aaron there in the anointing of Aaron as probably one of the chief moments when Israel could look back and see this unity in action, rallying behind the priesthood, the priestly covenant there made with the Aaronic priesthood, and that time before it devolved into a lot of factions and divisiveness and sin and everything else. But this is praising unity, and that is something that we will do all day long. And this is so imperative to the overall health of the body of Christ. If you don't have a united church, then you've got a lot of problems. You've got a lot of trouble. And that's what Paul's addressing in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, when he says, some are saying, hey, I'm of Apollos. Others are saying, I'm of Paul. And he says, listen, it's not about factionalism. It's about dwelling together, united in the pursuit of the name of Jesus, united under Christ. He is our head. He is the one that bonds us all together.
So what did the role of oil and dew play? Why these particular word images and pictures? I playfully responded to oil on the head running down the beard on the beard of Aaron. That doesn't sound enjoyable to me. As a 21st century American, I don't want oil on my face and on my body. I'd like to keep it where it belongs. Dew on a mountain sounds a little more pleasing. Like, I could see that. Okay, it's kind of Edenic and serene. So can we unpack a little bit about what these two analogies or what these two word pictures are meant to convey for us?
Yeah, the oil was a symbol of God's blessing, a symbol of God's presence, even with the one that was being anointed. And so it was a good thing. It was also pleasant in that it had an antiseptic quality about it.
Oh.
And so there was a cleansing quality of it as well.
Like pouring Purell on your body.
Exactly.
Just like that.
Yeah. And slippery too. And so that was kind of the connection there. As far as the dew of Hermon goes, the mountain there was evidently known for its dew, and it was the symbol of providing refreshment and that notion of the Lord's provision of water and even the idea of quenching the thirst there with the dew of Hermon. So satisfaction. The Lord's presence, the Lord's blessing. I think all of those ideas are being communicated here.
You're right. And that makes perfect sense here. Oil is used for a lot of things, anointing. So there's a sense of his provision. Oil in the New Testament could be something connected to the Spirit's presence, his work. I mean, even think about the beard of Aaron. He's the priest. He's the high priest at the time. So there's some spiritual connotation there. Dew, refreshing, all those things. I think that's scripture is reaching to find words that convey how good unity is and how precious a blessing it is. You shouldn't take it for granted. In fact, the fact that we as a church presently have this is not something that you should be like, this is the way it always is.
Right.
That's not the way it always is. In fact, disunity is the common expectation for those of us who are on this planet. That's just the way things are. We're going to argue. We're going to fight. We're going to disagree. Now, we recently had a conversation with somebody about a strong disagreement that I think we handled really well. We were able to connect. We shook hands. We hugged. Walked away friends and brothers and in the Lord. And there wasn't any animosity there. It was done really well. Not on our part, the person we were disagreeing with. All that to say, this is a precious gift.
Yep.
So our admonition to you, our encouragement, man, is to pursue the unity, not false unity. Unity does not mean the absence of conflict, but it does mean humility and a willingness to resolve conflict. I can't tell you. We've heard firsthand of people that will not return to a church because they've had a fight with somebody. You know, they have an issue. There's some kind of communication breakdown, not like the Led Zeppelin kind, the other kind. And now people are unwilling to come back to a church because there's personal conflict there. What a tremendous failure on the part of the gospel. No, it's not the gospel's failure, it's our failure. But what a tremendous blemish on the face of the church when we can't resolve our issues. Unity is not the default. Disunity is. Be on guard for this and pursue it. It's going to cost us something.
Yeah. Yeah. Paul writes about it in Philippians that we're supposed to be striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, that unity is so important. And I can tell you as a pastor, man, probably the times of disunity that creep into the church, divisiveness, I don't know if there's anything else that keeps me up at night more than those situations. It's like when when there's something wrong with your kids and you can't sleep because there's something wrong with your kids. It's that way when there's disunity in the body of Christ, when there's divisiveness in the body of Christ. So yeah, guard against that. One commentary pointed out that this is somewhat ironic that David is the one writing about unity when his actions are going to lead to a lot of disunity in the coming,
that's really sad,
coming chapters. And, yeah.
Hey, let me give you guys one quick recommendation. If you came from Compass Bible Church AV, you probably already know about this one, but this is one of my favorite books on resolving everyday conflict. And you know what it's called, Pastor PJ?
Is it The Well-Intentioned?
No.
Okay.
It's called Resolving Everyday Conflict.
Oh, Resolving Everyday Conflict. Okay.
And it's by Ken Sandy. Well, Ken, and I forget who his co-author is in this one, but it's by Ken Sandy. Ken, K-E-N, Sandy, S-A-N-D-E, Resolving Everyday Conflict. It's a short book, but really, really helpful and practical for how to approach addressing conflicts within your life. And unless you're conflict-free, you need this book. Trust me. You need the book. Get the book. It's cheap. It's short and easy to read. You want to read this, and you will benefit from it. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I think he's got another one, too, called Peacemakers.
That's the one. So Peacemaker is his longer, unabridged version of this little book.
Yeah.
This little book distills it down to its most basic parts, which is why I recommend that one. If you want to do the full reading, Peacemaker by Ken Sandy, that's the bigger one. You won't regret it. You're not going to see that as a waste of time. But if you want the principles right away, Resolving Everyday Conflict.
Boom. There you go. Hey, well, we've resolved another episode of the Daily Bible Podcast.
Finished.
Keep reading your Bibles and join with us tomorrow. And don't count on just three verses tomorrow. We got more to read.
Several more.
Bye.
See you then.
Hey, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Daily Bible Podcast. We hope and pray this has been a blessing to you and your time in the Word. If it has, if you would subscribe to this podcast, leave a like, leave a comment, and share it with some friends and family, that would be awesome. If you need more information about Compass Bible Church here in North Texas, you can go to compassntx.org. Again, that's compassntx.org. And we'll be back with you tomorrow for another episode of the Daily Bible Podcast.